Hey, everybody. My name is Barbara, and we have an informative program coming your way today. Maybe you've been challenged to stay on top of the ice rink issues and land use disagreements and other controversies going on because they are fluid, they are evolving. And so we have our guest today, Bonner County Sheriff Darrell Wheeler is with us to sort out what's going on here and his official opinion on all of these relevant areas. He's going to help us today, so stay where you are, and we have all that for you right after this.
Add warmth and ambience to your home, or update your old drafty fireplace with a new efficient wood, pellet, or gas heater from the Stove Corral. Whether you're looking for a fireplace or freestanding stove, we are your local destination for Lopi, Fireplace Extraordinaire, and Blaze King products. Come by the showroom to see our range of models from traditional to contemporary, located on McNierney Road just off Kootenai Cutoff in Ponderay. Take comfort in knowing we install and service what we sell. You are the heart of your home. Let us keep you warm. The Stove Corral.
Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty is locally owned and operated, located on the South Hill and Bonner's Ferry and downtown on Main Street to better serve the community. If you're thinking of buying or selling your home, think local. Call Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty for a free market analysis today. 208-267-8575. Coldwell Banker Northwoods Realty, located in downtown Bonner's Ferry and on the South Hill. Coldwell Banker, that's the power of blue.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, save time, shop online, and pick up your items at the store or have them delivered to your home. It's easy and convenient. Go to superonefoods.net and select your items. Then set the time to pick up your groceries in one of the reserved parking spaces at the store or have them delivered. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring. Great jobs with some positions starting at $18 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
Hi, this is Chad from the Easy Home Buyer, and I pay cash for houses. Call me today at 208-877-6000. I buy houses in any price range and any location in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene area and can get you your cash in as little as 1 week. Do you own a house that is vacant, in foreclosure, or needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Sell to us as is. You won't have to make any repairs, and there are no commissions, no fees, and we pay all the closing costs for you. Do you have a tenant living in your property? Not a problem. We buy houses with tenants in them all the time. Do you think your property will be difficult to sell? Easy. We provide assistance for any situation. We understand that life throws us curveballs, and we would love to see how we can help you. If you want to sell your house fast at a fair price, call me today at 208-877-6000. That's 208-877-6000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
We are Lions. We bring hope where it's needed. We are a global force for good. Support causes that matter. Change lives. Change communities. Change the world. We can do more together than we can alone. Join in. Experience the joy of serving. Be part of the movement. Give back. Let's unite the world for good. We are Lions. You can be too. Visit weserve.org.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. I want to take a quick minute here before we get to Sheriff Wheeler for an announcement about the Panhandle Patriots Riding Club. I talked, you know, with one of the founders a few months ago, and they were here. They came roaring into town on motorcycles and trucks and flags driving for our Back the Bonner Blue rally in downtown Sandpoint. And the men and women of this riding club, as far as I can tell and know, don't judge a book by its cover. They've got leathers and permit to carry and tattoos all over, but they feed the homeless. All this winter, they've had some homeless feeding stations going on. They helped the heavy lifting on a veterans memorial at a Catholic cemetery in Coeur d'Alene. And they just came back from a trip up to the Canadian border where they just went peacefully up just to kind of let their presence and their solidarity with the truckers be known. Of course, nothing happened. There was no issues. So On March 12th, there's going to be a Freedom Convoy Rally. It's going to start at Cruisers, which is over on State Line, which is a bar grill and State Line. And it's going to start there on March 12th, and I don't know where it's going to go. It's going to go around a parade. They have a permit for it. So motorcycles, trucks, cars, baby buggies, I don't know what all you can have there. But you're invited to be a part of it. And it's called the Freedom Convoy Rally. So there you go. All right, welcome in, Sheriff Darrell Wheeler. As the author said, boy, howdy, do we have a lot to talk about.
Good to see you again, Barbara.
Thank you so much. I want you to begin with the most recent development. Where are we in the ice rink controversy? What's the latest?
Okay, the latest, actually the last hour, there was an executive session after the Maine Board of Commissioners met this morning, and the commissioners discussed with our prosecuting attorney on what the next step is, and that was executive session, so I don't know. You could probably ask them where the next step and where we're going, but I can tell you, based on the Attorney General's findings and report that was issued on February 16th, when I asked them to look on violations of the open meeting law, they ruled that there was, and I can read it verbatim, the board likely violated the open meeting law during its October 26-21 meeting by failing to identify its agenda in all items of probable discussions. So they made a recommendation after that the board schedule a training section on the open meeting law within 60 days and be conducted by its legal counsel and another attorney familiar with the law. So they determined because of this, there is state law that their decision was void and null. So where we got after that opinion came out is that there was a violation. The contract and the MOU that was signed, the lease agreement on the 26th of October, is null and void. And they have to come back and reschedule that if they did want to proceed with that 99-year lease agreement. And as you know, things have changed dramatically since last week, which mm-hmm. is very, very good news for the citizens of Bonner County, because I really believe the options that now that the Sandpoint Community Corporation, Center Corporation is taking is they've agreed to join with the city of Ponderay and North Idaho Ice. And so they're taking all of their efforts now in fundraising to build the ice rink in Ponderay and abandoning that property that is on the sheriff's complex that has been used for the last 30 years.
So there are really two points of what is happening now. One on the board, the County Board of Commissioners, though we don't know what happened in executive session. They have been warned and advised that if they proceed with this MOU, it will be found to be null and void in the courts.
Correct.
And I think they're responding to that. And on the other hand, I mean, I think people could not believe that the County Board of Commissioners were moving forward with this in such a secretive way, but that the Sandpoint Community Center Corporation, they themselves would enter into some kind of an agreement for two ice rinks. Everybody's like, two ice rinks? Are you kidding? Has somebody done a feasibility study? How many people want to skate in this community?
Sure.
That doesn't make sense.
And during those discussions, they identified there's like 40 people in the community that are ice skaters and that are participating. And I think this is going to be a great opportunity for the rest of the county once they open up the ice rink. And they're planning, North Idaho Ice is planning to open that up next winter.
Yes.
So then people will really see what benefit it's going to have to our community. I think it's pretty spectacular what they've done just in the last year that that organization has been operating.
And that will be an outdoor rink, as I understand it, but with some refrigeration so they can extend the season. So a little bit earlier, a little bit later. They're not 100% dependent on Mother Nature coming through for us.
So, Barbara, they are looking at a chiller system to purchase that, and talking to Tim Wilson, they have already raised some $60,000 or $70,000, and it's going to be significant more than that. But as we've got a partnership with North Idaho Ice and Sandpoint 3C, the city of Ponderay, I think those opportunities are going to increase, and we're going to see that expand probably a lot quicker than we would have been waiting around for just one location in the city of Sandpoint.
What does Sandpoint C3, so to speak, the Sandpoint Community Center Corporation, what do they bring to the table for Ponderay and for North Idaho Ice? What do they have?
Well, they have a board of directors that are influential in the community. Well, that's one thing. They have been operating as a nonprofit since 1999, so I'm sure they've accumulated some support over that time, but
a
really
nonprofit
here in Bonner County. They've been registered. They had three different names during the time, but the last one is now Sandpoint Community Corporation or Center Corporation. So I think that they're going to, hopefully now that this issue's been brought up, there will be some more of an enthusiasm in the community to get behind the project at the Field of Dreams. I can tell you, Barbara, and I've made a lot of FOIA requests to see the records, the communications. I mean, it's amazing if we had several hours to talk about that. But I think that was great last week or the week before I met with Mayor Steve Geiger. And if you go in his office in the city council, they have an architectural drawing of the Field of Dreams, and you see the soccer fields, the baseball fields, the center that's in the middle. But there's actually an open ice arena, a place for that, and there's another location on that property for a closed ice arena. So they had, forethought to have two ice arenas on that property. And I was just dumbfounded when I saw that. I went, are you kidding me? You've already planned for two, and now this organization's trying to put a third one, and then on the sheriff's, the property that the sheriff has been developing since it was purchased in 1990?
Not just this corporation, the SC3. I mean, the county board, just because SC3 comes forward and say, you know what, we want to do this, and this is the land we like, and all of that presentation, that our county commissioners in unison, they were unanimous in their approval. They went for it. I'm just like, what were they thinking? They had to have known about Ponderay, and they had to have known and we're going to get into what the understanding was on this land. But even if there was no previous understanding, it is so critically where you guys are located, where we need to have our justice, if we're going to have a justice campus that we already own, that we don't have to buy property. That's like the key right there.
Correct.
I just can't imagine. So I think it was ego. I'm going to be the one to say it. I think it was big egos going on for some reason. Yeah. Can I say you're nodding? I don't know.
No, I've just said, I've heard that. I've heard that claim. But, I'm just dealing with the history, dealing with the facts, and primarily what was amazing is, this whole thing started in February 10th of 2020 when there was a fair board meeting over at the fairgrounds. And Darcy Smith, the fair board director, brought this emergency, said, advised that due to timely issues, she requested an item for discussion to be added at the last minute. No notice, so nobody knew this was happening, and that item was regarding a discussion and decision regarding ice rink at the fairgrounds. So it's like, when you talk about secretive, how can you be working on this since February of 2020 and it's gotten to this point and no one knew about it in the community?
Right.
And then there was
I want to interrupt right there.
Go ahead.
No one knew about it in the community, not the people who should have known, other leaders like you, department heads. Okay, so you guys need to be in the know. But the community itself they didn't know. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody who knew about this.
No, me neither.
You know, just kind of general information. You know, you needed to know. Do you know that Jeff Conley said on the air that you were kept out of the loop?
I did. I did listen to your show, yeah. And good for him for admitting that, and yep. He has been. He also said some other facts that were, or some other statements that were not factual, like the sheriff would acknowledge that we have between 45 and 60 marshal holds, and we have never had that many. The day that he made that statement, we had 10, and I think the most we've ever had in the 13 years I've been sheriff was just over 30. And that is, I mean,
why is that number important? What is it? What does it mean? Why is that an issue?
They're trying to show that that the marshal holds is just is tying the hands of the community. I'm making a claim about the jail and the deficiencies of it, which I've made, and saying that if I just get rid of the marshal holds, then, you know, our jail problem will be over. Well, our population this weekend was 99. We had 8 or 9 marshal holds. That means we're holding people that live here in Barnard County. And there is just a lot of claims and accusations that are just totally untrue. And I wish that the people that are interested in it would listen to the jail workshop that was done in February of 2019, listen to the statements that were made by the three commissioners that are in office now, and see that there has been a development of a great case of amnesia from the discussions back then to now, when they're claiming we've never talked about a justice center, we've never talked about expanding. We had all these meetings, assessments of the jail that I've had, and it's
you
been
know,
identified.
Dan McDonald completely rejects that. He says that they have not had a case of amnesia. It was never talked about. And so if it's in the minutes.
It's in the minutes. You can hear.
It's in the recording.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what's kind of disturbing. Let's talk about it. What do we need to do? Let's plan for the future. Let's have some strategic planning once in a while. And we have, I can tell you, under when Todd Crossett was in as the commissioner, we actually identified the problem with dispatch, that it's in a portable building. We need to expand for the future. We need to get out of that building. And we actually presented some models, and we talked about expanding the jail or building a new jail and putting dispatch on top. All of these conversations have occurred since I've been in office in 2009 between every board. This is my 6th board that I've worked with, and we've always had contact, or we've had conversations. We had them. Mike Nielsen came out with a letter after this decision and said he just can't believe that. Kerry Kelly, Todd Crossett, our prosecutor, Lois Marshall, said, no, this is not county. We've had these discussions about expanding the Justice Center. We own this property, this 20-acre property, and why would we go and try and find another piece to expand? And it just doesn't make sense.
So this has been talked about since 2009, and probably with a kind of increasing need as costs go up and county population goes up, and so therefore the need for this goes up, and our courthouse continues to crumble. Why is it that nothing has been concretely done, like architectural studies, a plan like the Pondere? They've got a plan on their wall for where they're going with this, and do it bite by bite, building by building. Why not?
I think the difficulties in county government is that the Board of County Commissioners are turning over so often that there is no real vision for the future. Every year during the budget workshops, I bring these deeds and I make note to them, these are the deficiencies the jails have. When there was a jail assessment, the Department of Justice was in 2008, they came in and did that assessment, and they determined that, hey, you know, this jail was inadequately built, there wasn't enough storage, there's not enough room, the kitchen's too small. I mean, they just articulated all of these things. And they actually visited with the judges. They visited with the commissioners. We made that presentation, and we determined, boy, this jail was poorly designed. It was when they started out, it was going to be expandable. It was not expandable. The foundation that it was laid on is for a single story. You could never put a second story on. I went over it. And in that February meeting in 2019, I articulated all of these issues. It was acknowledged, the maintenance department acknowledged that this is a problem. And we need to think about the future. It's really difficult when you have boards changing and changing and changing, and they're trying to deal with budgets, trying to make sure that everybody gets their piece of the pie. But strategically, each board should be planning for the future. We planned in that the new jail or the new courthouse was remodeled several years ago, and I can't remember what it was, but that was a disaster because it's a 122-year-old building. The heating, everything had to be designed, redesigned, and rebuilt, but there's actually ended up with less square foot than when they started. Plus, they never made plans for another judge. So now we have a second district court judge who doesn't have a courtroom. And we've never planned for that. And there was talk about selling that property to a developer and then the money going to that to build a new justice center.
That makes sense to me.
Which would have been really a great idea, but the current board at that time didn't think it was. And instead, we sunk in over $6 million in a remodel to a building that has inadequate parking, that doesn't meet the needs of the county.
And it doesn't have a good location.
And it doesn't.
It's not a good location.
Yeah. Right.
You know, this is not to disparage past or present planning and zoning, and I know there's been the big thing where they're now separating planning and zoning. But honestly, I mean, it seems to me, though, there might be board of county commissioner turnover. The people in planning and zoning are more stable. They kind of go from, like you've gone from commission to commission. So where have they been? Why are we not doing more long-term planning? To me, this is like a no-brainer. It's almost stunning to me that this is not happening with our county commissioners. I am shocked and stunned and worse.
So, Barbara, I think you have to separate the statutory duties of planning and zoning, because they look at how the county's being developed and approving lots and subdivisions and on that, and they don't really have a personal input on what the county needs to do. That really falls.
Who does?
It falls over the commissioners.
Well, they have
the final authority on how the money is dedicated and spent. And if we go and borrow money, if we save it, or just those are the decisions statutory that are given to the county commissioners.
Well, funding is one thing, but planning is another. I just can't believe that our planning group is not, that their job, their statutory job is not planning. We've got, I'm over on this segment, so we're going to go take a commercial break. Honestly, we don't have time for commercial breaks today, but we got to do it and do a little business. So stick with us, everybody. We have a lot more coming your way.
The Coeur d'Alene Resort is proud to welcome back the 12th annual Coeur d'Alene Blues Festival. This three-day music festival brings a soulful lineup of performers, including Anna Popovic, John Namath, and many more of your favorite blues artists. Kick off the weekend with a blues cruise on Friday, then enjoy 8 hours of continuous performances at the main event on Saturday. Make it a weekend to remember with an overnight resort room package. For tickets and room packages, visit cdabluesfestival.com.
Trinity at City Beach invites you to the 5th annual Sandpoint Winter Carnival's Weird and Wonderful Pub Crawl on Saturday, February 26th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity handpicked 2 great beers for your tasting pleasure. We'll also have a great menu to go with. Come visit us and 10 other downtown Sandpoint locations. Let's get weird, let's be wonderful at the 5th annual Weird and Wonderful Pub Crawl during Sandpoint's Winter Carnival. For more information, check our Facebook page at Dine Around Sandpoint.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own ReStore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. Everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the ReStore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
Jim and Sonny reminding you it's always no problem at Parker Subaru in Coeur d'Alene.
The Subaru Ascent is a dual threat as both a family-friendly SUV and a versatile all-purpose vehicle. The Ascent sticks to the Subaru brand blueprint, offering safety and versatility as standard features. It's comfortable here in the Northwest on sand, gravel, and snow. The Ascent has the power for passing vehicles and handling corners with good acceleration. It offers the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive system and 5,000 pounds of towing capacity. This SUV delivers an enjoyable ride for the whole family with seating for 7 or 8, a sweet infotainment system, and many state-of-the-art premium features. At Parker Subaru, we have a full service department with fully certified technicians who will ensure the job is done precisely to Subaru specifications.
After your research, visit Parker Subaru to get all the answers to all your questions from the friendly, no problem folks at Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Hey, everybody, here we are. We are back with Sheriff Darrell Wheeler. We're breaking it down for you on these ice rinks. And I, you know, call me naive, but honestly, I think a kindergarten teacher this year at one of our schools does more planning than what I know. This is me talking, Barbara, okay? The sheriff didn't say this. Than what I'm seeing from county commissioners on a need so important, so great, so critical, so fundamental, is that we have adequate jails, adequate driver's license areas to get our driver's license renewed, courthouses, and that we handle all of that justice stuff correctly for our citizens and everyone. I am so tired of going into that driver. I always feel like the floor tilts a little bit. I feel like I'm in my grandma's old living room or something. It's like what is that going on? Okay, that's not a serious question, but what is happening with planning at the county level for a justice campus?
So actually nothing. The last conversation we had was in 2019 when I presented a jail workshop, and we had discussions about looking at maybe passing a bond. The commissioners and all of the staff that was there from the county, we really came up with a consensus that, yep, the jail is falling apart. Do we continue to keep piling money into this, or do we plan for the future, and do we have everything on one piece of property? And it was always suggested over the last 12 or so years that let's have a justice center, let's have the courthouse, let's have a place for the prosecuting attorney, let's have a place for the public defender. We can walk our inmates over to that center. We don't have to transport and need all these vans to take the inmates into court in the city of Sandpoint. And that was really the last discussion in 2019 where we actually looked. There were plans to make some repairs in the jail, and those repairs were never made. There was a discussion, and let's get this done, let's get that done. And when that assessment came out afterwards, it was determined that it was going to be $11 million to add about 80 rooms. I think it was 80 rooms. It was going to increase our manpower by 16 positions, and we still would not have another exercise yard, most people don't understand. Minimum jail standards require that when you're in custody, that you get out for an hour to be able to see the sky and get exercise. If we have a 99 people in the jail, we start those exercise rooms that times at like 6 in the morning, and we sometimes go till 9 at night. Mm. We have to, because of the classification, we can't let women out with men, of course. We can't let sex offenders, violent people out with others. So we've got to schedule that time. We have court runs. We have meals that everyone has to be in the room. And then we have counts that we do during the day. So that actually subtracts from the time. So if you spend $11 million and add another 80 or 90 inmates in there, our problem of getting everyone out every day still is not solved. And we came to the conclusion, the consensus, well, that's really nice. It'll maybe meet the needs of having a better operating kitchen, some more storage rooms, but we're just piling money into a dilapidated jail that was just never built to meet the needs of the county.
You know, clearly the community needs to be, the county needs to be educated as to what is required, what it's going to cost, how we're going to do it, and let's get the funding in place. Let's do this.
Right.
I think once people understand, listening to your Saturday presentation, Daryl, was so good, and it was so informative, because I had not thought, well, unless you know, you don't know, that the number of jail cells doesn't necessarily equate to the number of people, because youth have to be separated from the adults, men from women. If they're sick, they have to be isolated. Whether it's a two-person cell or not, there's still only one person in there because they're sick, especially with COVID going on and
right.
all that hysteria. And so the toilets and the sinks need to be stainless steel. I mean, it's just like these things that we don't, as non-professionals, we don't think of. And you do, and that's why if you educate us, we can understand. Now, this gets me to my next question for you. There's several million dollars that's going to come in, is coming in to Bonner County called ARPA. And there are quite a few states now that are lobbying the Treasury Department to spend this money on jails, courthouses, and just what we're talking about. Would you be willing, if it could be earmarked for that use, would you be willing to consider taking ARPA money for your jail and for your courthouse?
The only way I would consider taking ARPA money would be if that Rule 9 and 12 were removed from the Treasury rules, because I feel obligated, I feel concerned that I would have to follow any executive orders or any new rules that come out from this current White House. And I'm very, very concerned. When you look at the Treasury Department going after the state of Arizona, the school district received ARPA money, and they looked at their plan on how they're going to spend it. But Arizona did not mandate masks in the school districts. And the Treasury said, guess what? You either need to change your policy or you're going to have to return that money. And that is the concern with me, until there is a court, and probably the Supreme Court, that comes out and said, yes, you are not bound by these rules and regulations. I have been dealing and accepting federal grants for the last 13 years, and I always look at strings attached to those grants and see what is going to be required of me and what is going to be, how is it going to affect the citizens that I'm here to protect. And it's been voiced out there, we do not want forced vaccinations. We do not want mass mandates. We don't want the federal government coming in and telling us. With those rules, I was very, very concerned. Until that is settled, I am not comfortable with doing that.
Is it just the mask and the vaccines, or any kind of?
It's going to go. I mean, yeah. you see what this current administration's doing. They're overstepping their ability to mandate all of these other things. And what is it going to be? You're going to, now they're going to outlaw the possession of firearms? I mean, are they going to mandate? I mean, you just don't know.
Well, there are two things. Really very concerned. I know. I appreciate that. I'm not as concerned about ARPA as people know from the show that we had. But if the federal lawsuit with Arizona turns against the feds, then that might change your mind. If the current administration or the administration that follows this administration or the Congress, the House of Representatives, changes over, that they would say, you know, first of all, masks don't work, but apparently that's not the argument. We don't care whether they work or not. It's whether or not we're going to make you wear one, and certainly the whole vaccine mandate. So it doesn't persuade you that, let me see if I can find it, that the Office of the Prosecuting Attorney, and I'm interested in what you think about it, where he said, essentially, the executive branch does not have the authority to put a string of vaccine mandates or mask mandates on this money. Now, so that's his opinion.
The other states that are fighting this and that what they have concern, until that's been, there's been a court decision, what was troubling in the very last statement was that, okay, we think it's legal, but, and you can read it, but they also, we can always file a lawsuit. What was the exact?
It says the federal government could take the money back, but the county would have standing to challenge that action before it occurred. In other words, they would tell us, you turned the money back in, you've misused it. We say, okay, we're going to take you to court because we think we had the right to do it. So here we are in a lawsuit.
So, Barbara, that's my issue as the sheriff. Sure, we have standing, but if they come back and they say you've spent these monies and you did not follow our executive orders or the changes in the law that we think that you should, are we going to be placed in more tyranny because of that? Are we going to lose all of that $4.5 million that we have now?
8.8.
And we're going to get another 4.4. So is it worth going to sue the federal government? And the city taxpayer is going, or the county taxpayer is going to have to shoulder that expense. And I see that the tyranny that we're in right now under the mandates from our own governor, we're in a stage four.
I know.
Lockdown.
Emergency.
I mean, if you think about this, most people just kind of go because we are free in Bonner County. But if you think that the governor has issued an order in saying you need to be vaccinated, he recommends that you wear masks, and he recommends you stay 6 feet apart. I mean, that is unbelievable.
I know.
And we have lost so many in the first two weeks. First 2 weeks of this lockdown, there were 92,000 jobs lost. What about those people that have their lives have changed? Because I'm just telling you, I do not want that to happen, and as the sheriff in protecting the liberties of the people in the county, I'm going to tell you I'm not going to accept it and fall into those
maps
or enforce it until we get some kind of ruling, and I would say from the United States Supreme Court. And then there's the whole issue. All we're doing is borrowing money. This is all fiat money that the government's printing out.
No, we haven't had real money in the United States for a long time.
So that's another issue.
We're $30 trillion in debt. And your beautiful grandchildren, I was just looking.
Right.
You're passing it on to them. All right, we are up against another break. We're going to take that break right now. We've got more coming your way, and I'm going to change the topic with the sheriff right after this.
This summer is going to be hot at Northern Quest with country music superstar Sam Hunt.
We'll have a house party, we don't need nobody.
Singer, songwriter, and Grammy-nominated country music superstar Sam Hunt.
Driving with my eyes,
Saturday, September 17th.
Like
get your tickets now at northernquest.com.
Fast as I can.
Hi, Jim here from the Pondere Winery. As we all gracefully shovel our way through winter, consider rewarding your hard work by coming in to taste many of our newly released wines. For the white wine lovers, Pinot Gris and Albarino are back, and for the red enthusiasts, the 2020 Cabernet Franc is now released and is February's Wine of the Month. As always, we have live music Friday and Saturday nights, and to complement our award-winning wines, our kitchen continues to turn out amazing entrees that make for a perfect afternoon or evening. The Pondere Winery, pleasing taste buds for the past 26 years.
Oh, thanks for the candy hearts, but you really didn't have to. I mean, really.
Folks are falling head over heels for these wheels and deals. Neil here from Auto Credit Sales, and it's the season of love, and I'm here to help you meet your match. So if you've fallen out of love with your old ride, or other dealers have left you brokenhearted, get ready to fall head over heels for these wheels and deals. I've got a solution for every situation. Low monthly payments? No problem. Low down payments? You could drive for just a couple bucks down. Trade-ins? We're paying way more than they're worth. And you could even lower your monthly payment in the process. Broken up over past credit mishaps? My For the People credit approval process is the best matchmaker. We hook you up with the banks and lenders who want to approve you. But hurry, this deal will fade away faster than first love. I'm Neil, and I'm your dealer for the people. See ya.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back. And you know, we get it going on here in the studio on these commercial breaks. I'm always threatening to leave the microphones on for the commercial breaks. Anyway, Sheriff Darrell Wheeler is our guest, and we are just breaking it down for you with this whole ice rink business and the Justice Campus. Why is that not happening? Why is that not happening? And I guess there's a question that I haven't asked yet, and that is, I mean, in like a week, this just got totally turned around. How did this actually happen? How did it get turned around?
Barbara, I think it's really important to know the community realized that this is important to them, and they really took hold and asked lots of questions. I think when I had that community meeting and presented the facts and facts only, mm-hmm. and not my own feelings, but the facts, I think that was really helpful in looking at the history of the jail. And the concern that I have that we need some expansion of the sheriff's complex. And I don't know, and second one was, I don't have a Facebook account except at work, but I do look at all of that. And Dave Bowman, who's in the community, pointed out in the contract, and what, which is a .2.2.2, that listen, this lease agreement, if we cancel it, the lease agreement says that that property has to be appraised by three people, by three appraisers, and we have to pay Sandpoint 3C back the appraised value and any improvements. So he realized that, man, this is really bad.
Jeff Conley said, no, it didn't say that, by the way, on the air. He said it only said that we have to pay for improvements. If they've built something or they've put a fence up, we have to pay them for the fence, but not for the property. So
I can tell you, I've talked to people in the prosecutor's office, other elected officials who are attorneys, and they said, no, that's what that says.
Wowza.
It has to be done. And there was, and then Dave Bowman wrote an email to Sandpoint Community Center Corporation and asked all these questions. You know, why are you doing this? Are you willing to do this? Just asked all that. And I think with that, and then with the Attorney General's ruling coming back and say,
yes,
there's an open meeting law, that the pressure was just too much that they had to. And so I had separate meetings with Tim Wilson and Steve Geiger, the mayor of Pondere, and he did some communications with the commissioners, and I know they saw the writing on the wall.
Right.
This is bad. If there is another meeting scheduled, they will not get the votes, and there'll be so much pressure from
right.
the community.
Yes.
And I just want to thank the community for being involved in this process and realizing that the end result with S3C joining Pondere and the Field of Dreams is a win-win for everybody.
It is.
And it's great that this thing turned out the way it did.
Yeah, I agree 100%. This has turned from a disaster and a confusing, how in the world did this happen? With two rinks and a stupid MOU that was just ridiculous and get a dollar a year for prime property for our sheriff complex?
I do have to have a little
caveat
to this, because just a couple of weeks ago, the Fair Board brought another grant application to add either 32 or 34 RV campsites. And they identified that as on the fairgrounds, but it's actually on the Readiness Center Sheriff's Office that would be pushing campsites to the back of our facility right next to our impound yard. And it would also prevent us from using another 1 acre, acre and a half, or 2 acres, which I don't know about you, but I don't, as a sheriff, I don't want people in RVs camping, looking over at evidence and being in the back of our Marine Division and being back in our property. It's not adequate. And so there has been brought up an issue that they, again, have advertised this as on fairgrounds property, but is not. And so I think this is going to have the same effect, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And actually,
Jeff
Connolly during that said, you know what, I think we've done this again. We haven't contacted the sheriff or the prosecutor and these people, and we probably should do that
before.
But then he still voted to send the grant in. So,
you know, that happens a lot. That has happened, and I'm not going to say the event and that, we don't have time, but I saw that on city council where, well, there was some, you know, we need to slow walk this a little bit. We don't have all the facts. But then when the vote came, they voted for it. I'm just like, wait a minute, what happened to all your concerns? Yeah, we've seen that with the county commissioners too. So, okay. I want to go to, you made a presentation, we only have like a couple of minutes for this, a speech at Rotary that the porous nature of our southern border with drugs and drug cartels and coming across the border was impacting us here in North Idaho. Explain your concern.
Yeah, very quickly.
2 minutes.
You know, we have a porous border on the southern border. We're having probably 90 to 95% of all the drugs that are coming into the United States and into Idaho are coming through that border. And I made a presentation, showed the facts. These were facts that are issued by the U.S. Border Patrol. We have cartels operating in every state. We have a cartel operating in Spokane that have been identified. And I'm trying to inform people, listen, we need to close that border down. People think that because it's so far away, it doesn't impact us personally in Bonner County. But all of the marijuana, all the methamphetamine, all the Mexis, fentanyl pills that are just polluting our state are here because the border is wide open. And we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to be pushing back against that.
What are some of the statistics that you can share with us about how many young people are maybe dying or, you know, more drug abuse as a result of this in our, let's say, northern Idaho?
Those specific statistics this morning, but I can tell you that in Bonner County, I think over the last year, we've had I think about three or four actually overdoses with fentanyl and these Mexis that are coming in. And they've had even more in Kootenai County.
All right. You know what, folks? We could just go on and on. What a great interview. Darrell Wheeler, Bonner County Sheriff, thank you so much. You're going to be on my invite him back list.
All right. Well, thank you, Barbara. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in with us and staying up to date with us. Next week, I'm going to look ahead past winter to Blue Sky, Blue Water, a representative from the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, which also, by the way, works together with the Sheriff's Marine Division. And we're going to talk about their outstanding seamanship class. We're going to talk about boating. We're going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to look forward to some good times. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care.
97.1 K246 EU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry. 14-